Hello, everyone. If you've been listening to the news, then I know that your heart, just like mine, broke when you heard about the school shootings. We have all been having some really down days. Winston Churchill said that if you're going through hell, you just keep going. And we are here to help you to keep going. Today we will share how we get through our down days in hopes that it helps you to get through yours. Welcome back to this week's episode on How I Got Through It. I'm going to share how these not so great feelings or a down day, and what we mean by down days are the days that just don't feel that great. All of your feelings are showing up and maybe something happened externally and it is just really getting to you. It's really getting to the inside of you and disrupting the rest of your day. So 2 days ago, it's a normal morning for me. I'm starting my day making coffee. And while I'm standing there waiting for the coffee to brew, this one thought creeps into my mind. And it's like, wow, I can't believe that thing happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then two other thoughts join the parade. And they're saying to me, when you said this, I can't believe that person said that. And, you know, just going through all these scenarios in my head. I tried to do other things. I tried to keep myself busy. But then by 12 p.m., I am in a deep rabbit hole of thoughts. Mm-hmm. And now all of the emotions have chimed in as well, and they've attached themselves to the thoughts, and it's a complete party. And at that time, I remember I got a text from you saying, hey, how are you doing? And I remember I sent you a voice note and I was like, it's 12 p.m. Today's a total no. I can't wait to start again tomorrow. And can you believe that? At 12 p.m., I'm already looking forward to starting the next day because I'm just in this deep rabbit hole, a complete Alice in Wonderland situation, you know? And mm-hmm. It's a very, very real thing for me. It feels like my nervous system is just extra nervous that day or something, you know? And I'm completely in my head about things. So that's kind of how it happens for me on a very medium kind of intensity level. There's an author, Michael Singer, he talks about it's never the moment that's in front of you that's bothering you, but it's what you think about the moment that's in front of you. And
right.
that's exactly true, because in those moments while I'm waiting for the coffee to brew, I'm thinking about either the past or the future, and I'm not even making the coffee anymore. Like I've completely exited out of the present moment, exited out of my actual life or of participating in my life. It happens to me too when I'm driving on autopilot and I'm just thinking all these things in my head. And it's really not ever the moment in front of me, but it's what I think about the moment in front of me. So that's kind of how it appears for me, how it happens for me. Can you share how you experience your down days?
Yeah, I definitely can. Thank you for sharing that though. And I would definitely say, similarly, it will sometimes just show up as my mind cascading into a memory and then being like, hey, you remember this? And I'm like, I guess. And then it can become this kind of snowballing effect. What I've actually been experiencing more recently is really being able to stop and start to breathe. And that has been the biggest factor in my ability to navigate the down days when they actually show up. I would say that probably one of the most challenging things that will pop up in my mind will usually be this idea of failure.
Yeah.
Failure is like that ever pervading sort of sensation of, and it really is the illusion of thinking that I'm failing. So I'll look at my life and I'll be looking at how things have started to show up with regards to either my workspace or familial connections, relational connections, whatever it is. And it starts to kind of do these scannings to try to figure out, okay, well, how is this actually showing up? And then it would turn into, oh, are you failing in this? And then I have to pause. Now, before, there wasn't a pause. It would literally be, oh, you're failing. And then that's when the roller coaster drops and it's just barreling down right into depression and all of the other layers of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I've just been navigating that as best as possible. I would have come out of a deeper space of depression. And if I can be 100% open and frank, actually, it's very interesting because even as we're having this conversation right now, I could feel this sensation of sharing, but don't share too much, right? And I recognize that it is like this conditioned thing that has been there that I learned as a child, like, don't try to burden other people with your problems. Everybody has something to deal with, but always hold space for other people and all of their stuff that they're having to go through, but never be in a space of trying to be deemed weak, trying to be deemed like you actually have needs, trying to be deemed like you actually have something to say. And that what I actually have to say is important and it is essential to my unfolding and the remembering of myself. And so, if I can just go into the deeper layers of it, because I could feel myself riding the somewhat superficial wave, is that I've recognized that I would have bouts of depression and it would actually show up as like suicidal thoughts and all of that. And that would usually come when I really feel like I am completely misaligned with my life. And it would show up as this impression that I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing enough. I'm not proving myself enough. I'm not showing up in the world enough. I'm not helping people enough. It's always this enoughness, enoughness, enoughness. And again, for any persons that are into human design or interested in human design, I have an open emotional solar plexus, which is avoiding confrontation and truth. But at the core of that, I also have an open heart or ego center. And that sensation always comes with needing to prove yourself, needing to prove your worth, needing to prove your value to the world. And so I would then create these hard barriers in my mind that it's like you need to show up strong for everybody else. You need to be the pillar for everybody else because you can't have two weak people. If both people are in a state of vulnerability, that's unacceptable. That was the conditioning that I learned, that somebody always has to be the rock while the other person can be as malleable as possible. And that I recognize was acting as a huge, huge, huge debilitator to my expression in the world because I also had recognized I am very much a person that takes in everything. I have no conceptualization of compartmentalization of my life or my reality. So when one thing is affecting me, it then has this trickle effect that vortexes and touches everything else in my life. I was actually able to take a step back and be the observer of that cycle where it was just looping and looping and looping and looping. And all I was doing was just breathing and watching it. And then it just faded on its own. It literally just started to dissolve because it recognizes that I was no longer feeding it. I was not giving it attention in the way in which it wanted me to. And this is something that I was actually saying earlier when I had done a couple of stories on Instagram. The ego is not a good thing or a bad thing. It literally just operates based off of what you feed it and what it has observed. And it is pretty much like a child. It is like a slowed down version trying to like take in the experience and trying to ensure that you're in control, that you're protected. If we want to go to the basis of it, it wants to protect you, right? But we sometimes have this connection with it and how we've been conditioned to relate to it, which is either it's this negative, evil thing that you must cut out of your being, which I think is unacceptable because, as far as I'm concerned, without your ego, you would not be here. You need to actually have a good relationship with all parts of yourself, not just all quote unquote love and light. As far as I'm concerned, once you actually embrace all aspects, this is what allows us to have a life that is a full and also life that is enough. And that is something that I really had to acknowledge within myself because I thought that downtrodden sage or the version of me that isn't always showing up in an excited way and super fantastic way and motivator, cheerleader way, any of the other ones that were not that, no space could be held for it. Hold it inside yourself. Don't let people see you in that sort of state. And I recognize how detrimental that was to my growth. And to be able to actually see myself in the fullness, because I've definitely had loops of depression, suicidal thoughts, like everything. And a lot of that I recognize was birthed from my ability to not just open up and let people know where I'm at for fear of being rejected, for fear of actually being in a space where people say, that's unacceptable. And I recognize that some of that just came from conditioning in childhood, whether it is in my household. And this is the thing, I recognize that people are people. Everybody is going through what they're going through. And a lot of the times, even when we look at our familial spaces, I've really had to start to take a more sober and also compassionate look at my relationship with both of my parents and recognize and accepted within myself that they were human too. They are human too.
Yes.
They have literally gone through what I have gone through, and sometimes probably even into a more extreme extent than what I experienced, right?
Yeah.
And it's being able to actually acknowledge that to the fullest so that I can actually now start to move from a place of awareness and a place of acknowledgement.
Isn't it kind of funny how it always comes back to that childhood part, you know?
Yeah.
When you really start going down the rabbit hole, there's a good quote by Desmond Tutu, and the quote is, "You can only pull people out of the river for so long before you look upstream to find out who's actually pushing them in." And I think about that just in this experience, and when I'm having a down day, I'm like, well, who's pushing me into this rabbit hole? What did I go through, or what did I experience that I am always in this rabbit hole of feelings? And I mean, that's where for me, like, therapy comes in, podcasts come in, meditation comes in, working out, yoga, all of those things. You kind of just have to find your jam with what works for you. My therapist always tells me this too. I said, you know, how do I get out of this constant spiraling sometimes that you find yourself in? She's like, just return to the present moment. And at first I kind of thought that was bullshit, because I'm like, I can't believe that for my whole life I'm going to just have to constantly be returning to my present moment. Like, that feels like a lot. Like when you're pulling a puppy on a leash back to some point, it's a lot of pulling. But she says it gets easier over the years. You learn how to bring your mind back. You learn how to bring your focus back, because your mind is a terrible master, but a fantastic worker. So every time you return, you have that experience of it gets easier every single time. I think that's a great segue to talk about how you experience your down days. How do you get out of that spiral for yourself?
What I would say is one of the things that definitely worked for me is being able to actually slow down my breathing. Now, one of the things that I had come across, because I had done some reading and a lot of in-depth stuff into like ancient Egyptian / Kemetic traditions, and they would speak a lot about the breath, and there would be like stuff about breath and yoga and how all of these things are interconnected. But one of the things that really stood out to me was how they would explain, if you lower the amount of breaths that you take per minute and how it alters your perception of reality. I think the average person takes anywhere between like 18 to 23 breaths a minute. And so if I cut that, they're trying to be hovering in the range of maybe 10 breaths or 9 breaths a minute. I have seen my ability to really step into the observer role of whatever is being presented in front of me. It's not to say that I'm trying to cut these things. When these things show up, I'm really leaning into giving them the room. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why they're showing up. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't need to try to force this thought, whether it shows up as, okay, I'm feeling embarrassed about something I did 10 years ago, or that I'm jealous because my partner's talking to somebody else. When I'm able to actually just navigate in that space and say, okay, well, this is how it is presenting. Okay, cool. Now, can I breathe deeply into this? Mm-hmm. And I have seen the ability to, it's not a change. I think what I really want to affirm, it's more of just an awareness. I'm not trying to get rid of it. And I think that is the biggest thing. It's not a getting rid of. I've really been in this, like, man, I'm glad that we're having this conversation, because I've really been in this space of just diving into my own inner realm and being like, I embrace all of me. All of what is showing up. And even if it does show up as these down days or these more depressive states, okay, let me see how I can hold space for all of it so that I can navigate and just be able to be aware of it, right? Because from the time, I've seen this time and time and time and time again, from the time that I get into a space of saying, this is unacceptable, I need to get rid of this, it makes it worse. Automatically, it just clicks it into a different gear, and it says, oh, Oh, it's not enough? Okay, I'm gonna show you now. And then it takes me down like Mach 10 level with regards to the rabbit hole and the spiraling and all of that. As soon as I say that this is unacceptable, or I don't like this feeling, or I don't want to feel this anymore, from the time that I get into a state of ease and I just breathe into it and I allow my awareness to be able to observe it. And it may also show up as just emoting as well. Maybe it does show up as being frustrated or cursing or whatever. I allow myself that room, as opposed to saying that's unacceptable. Oh, I can't believe, or this thing that will happen where I'm critiquing my own critique. So it will be like, I can't believe you thought about it like that. You should be thinking about it like this. And I'm like, how? I'm like, are you kidding me? How did you even come up with that? Or another layer of that would show up as, how do I want to explain this? Because it's very interesting, and I only picked it up within like the last month or so. It would show up as, man, I really want to be precise in how I describe this. I would have this feeling like I need to be thinking about something else. And what that would show up as is like, let's say I'm going through my day and I'm just going through life and I end up stopping someplace. And let's say, for example, I buy a lentil patty. Now, I don't eat lentil patties often. I only had one over the course of the weekend, but I'll go and I'll eat the lentil patty. And then, like later, my mind will jump on that and be like, but you don't eat lentil patties. Why did you go and eat the lentil patty? You should have. And it'll be like, you should have thought about eating a roti instead. And I'm like, in that moment, how would I be thinking about something that has never entered my mind? And I'd be like, yo, might I be doing the most,
Doing the
the
most.
most.
Also,
Oh my God.
I just want to say, I think your mind, your thoughts, and your mind are also friends with my mind because my mind says the
You're
same shit to me. Like,
right. Listen, oh my gosh, it is
it's a whole
wild,
committee in my head telling me
right?
something about an action that I took definitely 3 hours ago. I can't even go back and change it right now.
Right.
And it is telling me about the bagel that I had yesterday morning. Like, really, I don't know. Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
It is a whole committee in my jury judging. It's the whole thing. It's the whole gamut
It
of
really
everything.
is. It really is.
But I totally,
It's
I get
wild.
that. I totally resonate with that. I mean, I think the thing that's kind of helped me is that knowing that there's another way to look at things and that kind of intercepting the thought with that. Like before I get really far down the rabbit hole, I'm like, there's another way to look at this. And the ideas that I have are just the ideas that I have. I
Yeah.
guarantee you that if I had a like a friend of mine that was coming up to me and be like, I can't believe you ate that bagel yesterday. I can't believe you had that lentil patty. I can't believe you didn't work out today. I can't believe you didn't do two bike rides and you only did one. I would be like, get the hell away from me with this.
Right.
Like, get the hell away from me. You're not allowed 6 inches near me ever again. No. But the fact that I'm doing it to myself and that is somehow acceptable is just kind of crazy when you think about it, And so I
Yeah.
always try to like take a step back and realize like there is an alternate way to look at everything. And the thoughts that I have are just the thoughts that I have. No one is actually thinking that about me. And I really shouldn't also be thinking this about me. I should just know that it is always true. There's an alternate way to look at something.
Yeah. So, and then even within that, and that is where my baby sage would just like jump on the bandwagon, the fact that there is an alternative way. But the thing of it is that I don't need to be thinking about the alternative way right now. I
Right.
can just be with what I am experiencing right now, because over time, it will reveal itself. What is the other way that I could potentially look at it? Right. But it does, I don't need to force myself to do it now. And this is where I thought, like, even with regards to like the relational space, this is where we get challenges sometimes, because it's like, well, why didn't you do it this way? Because I wasn't thinking about doing it that way. Like, what else could I possibly do? You know, it's just fascinating to be able to see how this stuff unfolds.
Well, I think I, as talk as I'm talking through this with you, I think the commonalities that we both have is that we welcome the negative, or I don't even want to call it negative because I don't think it's exactly negative feelings. It's just a feeling, but the down feeling into our life, we take a walk with it. We go to work with it. We work out with it, and when you invite it, then you can actually have a conversation of it. Then there's no resistance. And then a solution may arise a day later, later in the evening, whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like if you are having a different opinion with someone, like if you and I had a different opinion, I would call you and I would say, hey, let's talk about this. So I would essentially invite you into the conversation, and then we can have a conversation and see if there's any commonality, see if we, if it's just that we agree to disagree. Like you have one way you're feeling about something in my life, and I have one way that I'm feeling about something in my life. And maybe the idea is just to agree to disagree, because sometimes with what we're feeling, and I recently learned this, is there's a lot of generational trauma too, that is like stored in your genes. And sometimes you feel things that you feel and you have no idea why you feel, you know,
exactly.
It is something that maybe your great grandmother, your great grandfather went through, and it is stored through your genes. There's a guru called Sadhguru, and Sadhguru talks a lot about you have the nose on your face through genetics, and it's really your great grandfather's nose that has descended over time, and it is on your face. That's how you know that you also hold generational stuff. If you can physically know that you have descended from your great grandparents and you physically have traits on your body, why don't you think that on the inside of your body, you also have generational things that has also descended from them as well? You don't exactly have to understand everything. You just invite everything into the party that is already your life. And you do the activities with it and you try to figure it out. You try to have maybe a conversation with it if you want to. And if you don't want to, that's fine too, because it is your human experience. You can cater it to the way that you want. It's a custom catering to you. You can create the type of human experience that you want to have. Invite what you want to and have conversations with the feelings that you want to.
Agreed. I 100% agree. Mm.
And I mean, with that same thought of like, maybe that's the way that you get out of it. The other way I think about it is like, I do horse riding. So I think about when a horse is in a small corral, it bucks, you know, like it jumping onto two front legs constantly trying to get out of the corral when it's in a small one. When you put that same horse in a bigger corral, it has a lot of room to kind of run free. Mm-hmm. And that's how I think of my thoughts, because I need to give them a bigger corral, a bigger space. Mm-hmm. Yes. I need to take them out in nature. I need to go for a drive, which is proven to be very useful for me when I'm driving and I'm singing in my car and I've just completely changed my scenery and changed my mood sometimes. And if I want to, I think about giving the horses a bigger corral to roam free in, and it brings this ease and this easiness to the experience that I am having.
Definitely. And I think just if I can add to that, yeah. I definitely feel that as an experience when I'm in the ocean, just open water. There's so much room. Once we give ourselves the opportunity. But you know, it's funny, right? As I just said that out loud, I recognize the natural crowding of people. And if I sometimes think about people as being like thoughts that happen right at the shoreline, but the deeper you go, the less thoughts or people that are out there, because people tend to kind of congregate and be close together because it feels safer. But if we give ourselves the opportunity to start to venture into deeper water and explore what is out there, and to also change your vantage point, it makes a huge difference.
Yes, yes. I love that. You could still discover things within there, within that vastness. And that's kind of like how human life is and the human experiences too. It has this vastness about it. That when I feel like I am down a rabbit hole or I'm spiraling, sometimes I think about it too, like I'm looking through a lens, a specific lens. And if I just realize that I am looking through a lens that seems to be magnifying everything, the moment I step away from the lens, or maybe just be aware that right today, apparently I'm wearing a different pair of glasses, you know, and that is okay. That is okay for today. It won't last forever. And I'm just looking through a specific lens here at whatever experience I'm feeling, which really goes back to what we talked about in the last episode with what is love, knowing what you feel and being aware of what you feel, because you're living with yourself 24/7, right? And how you are and how you show up and who you are is really up to you. And how you experience your own life is up to you as well.
It is. It really is.
I would like to share just one more thing, like the times of the day that I could start going down a rabbit hole sometimes happens early in the morning. And then right before I go to bed, sometimes I feel like, honestly, like going to bed is, you know, like my mind is a bad neighborhood. And if you're there too long, I might get mugged or I might get someone's going to steal the hubcaps off my car, you know?
Right.
I kind of notice those times and I'm very conscientious of that. That's another thing of another part of me learning about me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would say that on my end, it doesn't always show up in the same way in the sense of like, oh, when I first get up or if I'm going to sleep, it sometimes just catches me middle of the day or whenever, and I'll feel it as a sensation coming on. And then these accompanying thoughts that start to pervade as well. And then I'm like, oh, okay, you're here. Welcome.
Yeah, right? You're here. You're here.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Yeah.
Some of the things that I do try some activities. Like I said, I talked about walking. Meditation also was really helpful for me. I've done like emotional release yoga, working out. I love Pilates, so I'll do Pilates. And then just listening to a podcast sometimes on like how to get through my feelings, you know, like sometimes just hearing, that's why we're doing this, by the way, for other people that may be going through a down day, because just hearing that, first of all, you're not alone. We are more alike than we are different is very helpful because when you are feeling that down day, sometimes you feel like you're on an island by yourself. No one's going to relate to you. And then you don't want to share with other people because you don't want to feel weak or vulnerable. So hearing a podcast is not only relating to the people on the other end, but it's allowing you to relate without that sharing part happening yet with the people that are supportive in your life.
Yes.
I'm a huge proponent of this. I highly suggest therapy if that is something that you want to venture into, because like I said, you can only pull yourself out of the river for so long until you realize what is actually pushing you in. And therapy addresses the what is pushing you in part. Was it something in your childhood? Is it something that maybe is generational and you just don't know how to tackle that? That's just kind of the heavier things that I deal with in therapy with my therapist, and definitely an avenue that you should explore if you have any interest. The other thing I want to say, and the other thing that I've kind of realized with emotions and thoughts, if you broke your leg, no one would say, oh, just leave it alone. Your leg is having a bad mood. nobody would say that to you. So if your emotions kind of feel maybe broken that day, don't brush it off. Do things with, try to find your way or navigate that feeling. If you feel lonely, sometimes I'm like, Anna, figure out your way around this loneliness. Get familiar with a part of you. And that has always helped me.
Beautiful. And I agree.
Thank you. And thank you again for making the time to do this. I really appreciate all your thoughts and everything that you have to say. And I can't wait for the next one.
Right?
The next one, you're going to pick the topic and we're going to dig in on it.
Perfect. Sounds good to me.
Awesome. Well, have a great rest of the day. Thank you again.
Thanks as well.
Alrighty. All right.
Bye-bye. Bye.
How I Got Through It is edited by Rihanna Smith. If you're enjoying the show, feel free to subscribe to Apple or Spotify so you never miss an episode. You can also rate the show and feel free to leave a comment. We read all of them. Thanks.